بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the famous and great tabi'i Khalid ibn Ma'dan رحمه ta'ala, who said, إِذَا فُتِحَ لِأَحَدِكُمْ بَابٌ لِلْخَيْرِ فَلْيُسْرِعْ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُغْلَقْ عَلَيْهِ. He said that when a door of opportunity is opened up for you, a door of khair, a door, a window, a season through which you may acquire a lot of good, he says, hasten towards that door. فَلْيُسْرِعْ إِلَيْهِ, run towards it. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُغْلَقْ عَلَيْهِ. He does not know when that door will be closed upon him. The month of Ramadan is not just a moment of opportunities. It is not just one door of opportunities. It is a season of innumerable and countless opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented us with. There are opportunities in this month for us to acquire closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every sujood and every prostration is a means of coming closer towards Allah. أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهُ وَهُوَ سَاجِدُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the closest you can come to Allah in this world is when you are in sujood, in prostration before Allah. And we have the opportunity to make so much more sajdas during the month of Ramadan. It is a moment or a season of opportunities through which we may acquire the ma'rifah, the recognition of Allah, the love of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a season of opportunities through which we may develop certain characteristics within us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said about the month of Ramadan, shahrul muwasat. It is a month of muwasat. It is a month of sympathy, a month of caring, a month of compassion. So it is a month during which we can develop this quality and this attribute of sympathy, compassion, caring and sharing with others. It is a month which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to as shahru sabr, the month of patience, the month of tolerance. So a month in which we can acquire this quality and this attribute of restraint, of tolerance, of sabr. And one of the greatest opportunities that the month of Ramadan offers us is the opportunity to earn paradise, the opportunity to earn Jannah. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke about the events that take place on the first night of Ramadan in the unseen world, according to the narration of Bukhari and Muslim, rahimahumallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the very first thing that happens on that night, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. The very first thing that happens on the night of Ramadan, the first night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up all the gates and all the doors that lead to paradise, that lead to Jannah. It is so easy for us. Every opportunity Allah has given us to enter Jannah through one of those doors, through your kindness, through your generosity, through your ibadah, through your worship, all the doors, all the pathways leading towards paradise are open in front of you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed any impediments, anything that may prevent you. Allah has made the environment so conducive. Allah has removed the evil spirits and the evil shayateen and the jinn to make it easy for you to enter whichever door of paradise you wish to enter from. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بَابًا يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ الصَّائِمُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُقَالُ لَهُ الرَّيَّانِ. There is a gate in paradise known as الرَّيَّان, through which those who observe fasts will enter, encouraging us to seize this opportunity in the month of Ramadan to earn our paradise and to earn Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ayat of the Quran has described paradise for us. There are many, multiple, so many times in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described paradise for us. And what's the objective, what's the purpose behind that? So that we may study the descriptions of paradise and it creates within us a desire to go to paradise, to want paradise. We no more think of Jannah. Jannah is no longer a reality to us. We no more speak of paradise. We no more speak of Jannah. We no longer make dua for Jannah. Jannah is not a fantasy. It's a reality. Jannah was a reality to the Sahaba. That's why Jannah was on their minds all the time. And they made dua for Jannah. They asked for Jannah. And they worked for Jannah. They worked for paradise. And they saw the month of Ramadan as one of those opportunities that they can seize in order to earn a spot and reserve a place for themselves in Jannah. So Allah describes Jannah for us to create that desire within us. If there is some region, some place or some location anywhere around the world and you do not know of it, it was never described to you, you have never seen the images of its beauty, you do not know that place exists, there will be no desire within you to travel to that part of the world. But if someone goes and they travel to that part of the world, and they come back and they describe the beauty for you, and they describe the enjoyment that they had and the pleasure that they experienced, now that creates within you a desire. And that's the starting point, the desire. And now you have the desire to see it, to be part of it, to experience it, to live it. So you start working for it. And that's why Allah describes Jannah for us in so many ayat of the Quran, so that desire is created and that desire induces within you the work and the effort and the time and the energy that is required for you to earn paradise. One such description is found in Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us the enjoyment and the comforts and the pleasures of the people of paradise. Now, this was chosen specifically because Surah Yasin is a surah we all recite. We recite it every morning, perhaps every evening. And it is a description that we read all the time. So it is something that we can refer to always. And hopefully that will create within us the desire to want to go to Jannah and to make Jannah the purpose and the objectives of our lives. إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون. Allah says about أصحاب الجنة. Allah describes a day in the life of the people of paradise. What does He say? إن أصحاب الجنة في شغل. Allah says the people of paradise, they will be engaged in a shughl, a day in the life of the people of Jannah. They will be engaged and involved in a shughl. What shughl? Shughl is something that occupies you. Shughl is something that occupies your mind, occupies yourself. It is something that keeps you busy. It is an activity. Allah says they will be in a shughl. So that's what shughl means. But when you look at the word shughl, and the next time you are reading Surah Yasin, pause on the word shughl. You will notice that this word shughl has three letters. Sheen, Ghain, and Lam. The last letter, the Lam, has what we call tanween. Tanween, a double kasra or a double zair, right? And that means that this is an indefinite noun. It's referred to as an indefinite noun in grammar. What is an indefinite noun? An indefinite noun is that noun which denotes something unspecific, something unknown, something unclear. So Mufassirin explain that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word shughlin in its indefinite form? Because that activity that the people of Jannah will be involved in, shughlun la yusaf, indescribable, unimaginable, unexperienced. That's the first reason why it's indefinite. It's something unexperienced, unimaginable, beyond your wildest imagination. Some Mufassirin explains, وَفِيهِ إِبْهَامُ وَيَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. There's ibham, there's ambiguity. Allah has left it unclear, Allah has left it unknown, indefinite. And the reason for that, he says, because this denotes that it is something that will be extraordinarily significant, massive, something really great, the shughl that they will be involved in. In أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغْلٍ. They'll be in this indescribable, unimaginable, unexperienced activity. Now, in this world, shughl, your work or your activity, whatever keeps you busy, wears you out, it tires you out. Whether it is enjoyable or not, whether that shughl or that activity is entertaining or not, every shughl, every activity in this world, it wears you out. But the shughl of Akhirah, Sahib al-Jalalain, the author of al-Jalalain writes, لا شغل يتعبون فيه. That shughl, they'll just want more and more and more of it. They won't want that shughl to end, that activity, whatever is occupying them. لِأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَا نَصَبَ فِيهَا. Jannah, there's nothing like fatigue. There is no tiring out, wearing out in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this and He says, فِي شُغْلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. They'll be in Jannah, فَاكِهُونَ. فَاكِهُونَ مُتَنَعِّمُونَ مُتَلَذِّذُونَ فِي النِّعْمَةَ الَّتِي تُحِيطُ بِهِمْ. They'll just be having a great time, an amazing time, a really, really good time. مُتَلَذِّذُونَ, really enjoying that activity that they are engaged in. فَاكِهُونَ. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes about the word فَاكِهُونَ. He says that فَاكِهُونَ is happiness that is experienced by the heart and happiness out of one's surroundings. So there'll be this natural, immeasurable happiness and excitement in the heart. And also the surroundings will be such that will add to that excitement and add to that happiness. فاكهون. Allama Baghawi rahmatullah alayh quotes another scholar and he says, فاكهون. This word فاكهون, what does it mean? طيب النفس ضحوكا. They'll be so happy inside. طيب النفس, no worries. Absolutely no worries. ضحوكاً, they'll be laughing all the time. That is what فاكهون means. And that is the level of their excitement while engaged in that activity that is indescribable and unimaginable. إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمِ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. Now, very often when we are enjoying ourselves and we're having a good time, you want to share that moment with someone, right? There's really someone you'd like to share that moment with. And sometimes that person is not with you. And you think to yourself that, I just wish that person was with me to enjoy this moment, to see this beautiful scenery, and to experience what I am experiencing. So the people of Jannah, Allah says, they'll be in this unexperienced, unimaginable, drastically significant, huge activity that will bring to them immeasurable levels of joy and happiness. And who will they have with them? Whom? They will be there, وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ, and their spouses. So they'll have the company with them as well. Some of us might think we wouldn't want them to be there with us at that moment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Jannah and Paradise, the first thing that Allah does is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes any ill feelings, any bitterness, any sort of hatred or enmity that you may harbor or that you might have harbored towards the next person. Hum wa azwajuhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will be there in that activity, enjoying happiness like no other, unprecedented, and they will have with them their spouses, whom wa azwajuhum. There's a subtle message here for us, that if we as a couple, a man and a wife, husband and wife, wish to enjoy that happiness, that unprecedented, immeasurable happiness of paradise, then we should find happiness in the obedience of Allah in this world, together as a couple. Together as a couple, if you will find happiness in the ta'ah, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, together you are waking up at the time of tahajjud. Together you are engaged in dua. This is the time, if we have not adopted this, and we do not implement this, where as a couple, as husband and wife, we are doing it, but we are doing it separately, which is good. But it's even greater if you do it, and you spend some of those moments of ta'ah and ibadah and worship together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the two of you to enjoy that level of happiness in akhirah together. Because you found happiness in the ta'ah and the obedience of Allah in this dunya, Allah will give it to you in akhirah as well. So there are moments where the two of you are making dua, and this is the time to introduce that in your relationship if it is not yet there. The time of Ramadan, the moments of dua, the moments of dhikr, the moments of tahajjud, where you are spending it together, and let us never ever find happiness in the ma'asiyah and the disobedience of Allah as a couple. Commonality in interests. This is where both need to be on the same page. Both need to be heading in the same direction. And this is the time for us to work on that, to ensure that we are both helping each other, assisting each other, and encouraging others, one another, to head in that one direction of earning the happiness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One cannot be engaged in Quran and the other is on social media. One is engaged in dua and the other is viewing some programming. This is the month of Ramadan, brothers, where we cancel that subscription. That subscription, cancel it. That element that is within my home or on my device, that is negatively influencing thought, that is negatively influencing behavior, that is negatively influencing perception. Now is the time in the month of Ramadan. If it's not going to happen now, then it's not impossible outside of Ramadan, but it is very, very difficult for you to let go outside the month of Ramadan. Whether it is a subscription, whether it is a policy, whether it is a habit, whether it is an addiction, let go of it now in the month of Ramadan. It is so easy. Whether you are doing it together as a family, as a couple, or as an individual, let go. No matter how far you have fallen down, the month of Ramadan, Allah has given you to rise up. To rise up. But in order to rise up again, you need to let go. Whatever it is, that addiction, the wrong, whatever it may be, it is holding you down. إِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ مِنْهُ بَاعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you will come to me, if you will rise up by this much, just this much, one handstand, if you will rise up, I'll come to you by one arm's length. And Allah coming to you means Allah gives you more strength to rise even higher. And then you get the strength to rise even higher. But to rise up, you need to cut loose. You need to drop whatever it is that's holding you down. And let that happen in the month of Ramadan. And Allah appreciates it. Allah is shakir. Do it to impress and appreciate and to earn Allah's appreciation. Allah is shakir. Allah appreciates that little you let go of for the sake of Allah. Wallahi, Allah appreciates it. Allah is shakur. Shakur, Allah really, really appreciated the little things that you let go of for the pleasure of Allah, to earn the appreciation of Allah. And when Allah appreciates something from you, you will see miracles in your life. This is the month to earn that appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by letting go of those things that are keeping you down for the sake of Allah. Hum wa azwajuhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they and their spouses. Hum wa azwajuhum. So you have this activity that your only experience when you get there, inshallah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ encouraged us to make dua for Jannah all the time. All the time. Every time you raise your hand in the month of Ramadan and outside the month of Ramadan, make dua for Jannah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala who said, when you see a person asking Allah for Jannah all the time, know that Allah wants to give that person Jannah. Allah inspires you to ask for certain things because Allah wants to give it to you. Again, regardless of how far you have fallen down, ask Allah for Jannah. Never stop making dua for Jannah. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. And when you do make dua for Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus. Bulk of the ummah won't get to Jannatul Firdaus. Bulk of the ummah won't make it to Jannatul Firdaus. But that's the standard you set for yourself. That's the standard you set for yourself. Set the highest standard for yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so they'll be engaged in this activity, shukhrin, fakihun, enjoying every bit and every moment of it, immeasurable level of happiness and joy that they are going to be experiencing. They'll have with them, their spouses will be with them. Allah then speaks about the climate and the weather. Very often we go to the best destinations and we go to the best of resorts and you have all the facilities and you have the best of views, but it's a bad weather. You don't enjoy yourself at all. So you have the best of facilities and you've got the best of everything, but the weather, the climate is no good. So you can't even enjoy the best of what you have there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fi dhilal. The climate of paradise, perfect. Cool shade. They'll be in cool shade. Fi dhilalin ala al-ara'ik. Allah speaks of their seating areas. Their seating areas. Allah even describes that much. Right? So the weather is perfect. The activity is beyond one's imagination. The happiness is unprecedented. Allah speaks about their seating arrangements. Allah says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. أَرَائِكِ, عَلَّمَ بَغَوِي رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ says, السُّرُر فِي الْحِجَالِ. أَرَائِكِ are couches. Huge, raised up couches that have a dome-like structure over them, and that dome-like structure is draped with the finest fabric of paradise. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ. Allah even speaks of their posture. So that's the seating arrangement. And the posture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئُونَ الْإِتِّكَاء هَيْئَةٌ بَيْنَ الْجُلُوسِ وَالْإِتِّجَاعِ. اتِّكَاء, Allah says they'll be مُتَّكِئُونَ. Muttaqi'un, Allah did not say they'll be standing up. Why? Because according to our worldly experience, standing can cause fatigue and it can wear you out. Allah doesn't say sitting, they won't be sitting. Because according to our worldly experience, sitting also becomes difficult, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say lying down, because if you're lying down, according to our worldly experience, you might fall off to sleep and miss all the fun. Allah says muttaqi'un. Muttaqi'un, they'll be reclining, right? So completely relaxed, chilled out, absolutely relaxed. Even the posture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described, it's the best of posture. Muttaqi'un, ala al-ara'iki muttaqi'un, fiha fakihatun wa lahum ma yadda'un. Allah speaks of what they will be served in paradise. No menu. Here, when you are given a menu, you are restricted to what's on the menu. What's the menu there? Allah says, مَا يَدَّعُونَ. Whatever they think about. And the best moment, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains this in the hadith. He says, بَيْنَمَا أَهْلُ جَنَّةِ فِي نَعِيمِهِمْ. The people of paradise, they'll be engaged in that unimaginable, unexperienced activity that will bring them immeasurable joy. They'll have the perfect weather, they'll have the spouses with them, the finest of seating arrangements, and they'll be absolutely relaxed. And إِذْ سَطَعَ لَهُمْ نُور. All of a sudden, a nur and a light will appear. فَرَفَعُوا رُؤُوسَهُمْ They will raise their heads. They will raise up their heads. فَإِذَا الرَّبُّ تَعَالَى قَدْ أَشْرَفَ عَلَيْهِمْ And that will be the height of their enjoyment. When they realize Allah has removed the veils between him and between them. One of the du'as that our pious predecessors used to make, Oh Allah, grant us the sweetness of seeing you. Grant us the sweetness of seeing you. And subhanAllah, they'll be motionless, transfixed, captivated by what they see in front of them, the beauty of what they see. They'll forget all of that that they were just experiencing right now. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ Ya أهل الجنة السلام عليكم يا أهل الجنة and Allah will say السلام عليكم O people of paradise peace be upon you فذلك قوله سلام قولا من رب الرحيم That is the greeting that the people of Jannah will enjoy Brothers Allah has given us the month of Ramadan to earn Jannah to work for Jannah It is that moment where we can secure and reserve our spot in Jannah Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba هل ألا مشمر للجنة Is there anyone who will give all to get Jannah? Sahaba were ready. They said, نَحْنُ الْمُشَمِّرُونَ لَهَا There was a young Sahabi. O Nabi of Allah, we are ready to give it all. Everything, we are ready. Jannah was a reality to them. Jannah has become a fantasy to you and I. It has become a fantasy to you and I. There was a young man in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll conclude on this. And he had nothing. He had no food to eat, he had no shelter, he had no cloth to cover his body, he was from Ashab al-Saffa. But he was always in the khidmah and the service of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that my young man asked me, what do you want? What is it that you need? What is it that you require? He gave it some time, he thought over it and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, oh Rasul of Allah, I want you to make dua that I am in Jannah with you. Jannah was on their minds all the time. They thought of Jannah all the time. How can we get to Jannah? That is what was on their minds all the time. So Allah has described Jannah for us so that it creates within us a desire. That in desire must induce within us movement so that we work for Jannah and we earn it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Jannah al-Firdaus as he has gathered us in a majlis of this nation. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين